Yes.
Hello, this is a feature commentary. I am Garrett, and with me is the owner of the site, Marcy.
Yes, hello.
Say hello, Marcy.
Hello, Marcy.
And we are going to start feature commentary. My first, how many of these have you done, Marcy?
A lot.
A lot, okay. Yes. This is her a lot.
Yes.
This is a lot number.
Yes.
feature commentary for a little movie called The Lawnmower Man. Now, me and her have a lot to say about it, and the way this came about is very interesting, all of which we will get into as we go into the movie.
Yes.
But, so, just so everybody can sync up, right now it says, it's all zeros on my screen before,
yes.
It's before the New Line logo even shows
yes.
up.
That's where I'm up to, and then we hopefully we can all press play at the same time. It probably won't matter if, like, there's a few seconds out of sync, but as long as we're not, like, 5 minutes out of sync, I think we'll be good.
Okay. So whenever you're ready, Marcy, am I going to count this down?
Or do you want to count down, or do you want me to do it?
I'll count down. That's
all
good.
Right, I'm ready.
So just to clear up, again, I'm at all zeros on my DVD.
Yes.
New Line logo hasn't even started showing up yet. So when I count down from five,
yes.
We all push play, and then we will watch the movie, and yes. me and Marcy will commentate and have lots to say about it.
Yes. So when you get to the one, when you say one, I'll be pressing play.
Okay. So now we're going to have the Lethal Weapon discussion. Is it at one or is it after one?
I'm going to say at one.
Okay. At one. You got
yes.
it. All right. So I'm going to start counting down right now. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go.
All right. I can see the logo forming.
We're about ready to start a Nightmare on Elm Street, right? That's what this logo means?
Yes.
Freddy's about ready to show
up. All right, Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh, virtual reality? What?
Wow. I mean, you know, you got to kind of put into context when this movie was coming out. Virtual reality was a scary thing.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, this movie is such a product of its time. It is like opening up a history book into the early 90s. You can't say
yes.
it's dated. It's a freaking, like, it's looking back in time. That's
yes.
how I see it.
Yes. And this scene right here, as we're going into the hallway here, I mean, this is 28 Days Later, right? This is just the complete beginning of 28 Days Later. You're going to see
is.
A monkey in a cage.
There's a virus.
Stephen King sued the producers of this movie. I think the producers of this movie can sue Danny Boyle for taking this scene for their movie, right?
There is a monkey. I mean, he doesn't have a virus, but he's virtual reality-ing.
Yes. All right. So before a lot of action starts, let's get into this, Marcy. This is a very weird dynamic of how this came about. About 2-3 days ago, I had said that I was watching this on a random note. I hadn't seen this movie in probably about 10 years. At least. I said I had watched it, and you said you were watching it too.
Like, you're copying me.
What's that?
Oh, I think I wrote, you're copying me or something. On
yes, you did. And from that conversation, we messaged each other, let's do a commentary. And that is how this came about.
Yes, it would have been several days, like, before, but I've been busy and not well, so...
Yeah, this was supposed to be a few days ago, but like you said, you haven't been feeling well, so.
Yeah, I was out when you asked me, and then the next day it was like my sister's birthday, and we were going out for lunch. I'm like, yeah, this is not happening.
By the way, isn't it weird? Jeff Fahey is billed before Pierce Brosnan.
Yes, and it's kind of weird, isn't it? Is it like alphabetically F before E?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, this was a weird phase in Brosnan's career because it was after Remington Steele.
But it's before James Bond.
But before James Bond, exactly. So he was kind of getting into his groove as a leading man.
I mean, he wasn't, like, I guess, as well known in America as being in, like, films, I guess. Because around this time, I think he was in, like, Mrs. Doubtfire as, like, the jerk boyfriend of
yes.
Sally Field.
Yeah, absolutely. And here we have monkey vision, I guess. I mean,
it's monkey virtual reality vision. Do you know what this monkey looks like? Like, when you see his face, he looks like RoboCop monkey.
RoboCop monkey. So they have Peter Weller monkey playing the main character of this movie.
He looks like what RoboCop would look like if he were a monkey. That should be a movie.
He definitely has that RoboCop type vision, huh? It's almost RoboCop and Terminator-esque vision, isn't it?
Yeah, and because he's got like the thing on his head with the like eye thingies, it looks like RoboCop's helmet.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the next Planet of the Apes movie should be like Rise of the Ape RoboCops.
Now, is Brett Leonard trying to put some kind of message saying video games influence, because he just took that cop's gun and just shot him?
Yeah, but that's kind of like what monkeys want to do to people in general.
And by the way, I kind of knew Jeff Fahey when this movie was coming out, because the year before was a movie called Body Parts, which is a movie that I revisited it maybe, I don't know, 3-4 months ago. It's still a pretty decent movie.
It's it kind of falls
apart towards the end like this, but it's a pretty decent movie. I like that movie.
Because it's at supermarcy.com, it is at the moment for the month of May. It is 90s horror movie month, so I did watch Body Parts, and I did watch The Lawnmower Man. And I then realized, like, oh, so it's a Jeff Fahey going on right now. And hello, it's a shirtless Pierce Brosnan right now. Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, now, was he paid per chest hair? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of scenes. I noticed this when I watched this the other day. There are a lot of scenes of him bare-chested in this. He's bare-chested like Matt McConaughey in this thing.
I'm not complaining.
I'm sure you're not.
I mean, I would still go for Pierce Brosnan now.
And look at him. He's got the sunglasses. Or sunglasses. He's got the glasses on.
He's got an earring in his ear. He's like, cool dude, man.
He looks like almost nerdy indie a little bit, like when Indiana Jones was a teacher.
And he's, like, smoking and watching TV. I don't know.
Austin O'Brien. Now, do you know what that name is? Do you know who that is?
He was in The Last Action Hero and My Girl, yes. 2. And he's now a professional photographer.
Is he really?
He really is.
Wow. I wonder what happened to that kid. Because he had a couple good years here. Well, I wouldn't say good years.
Well, he was, like, he had a lot of work, like, back in the 90s, and he was in the really awful sequel to this movie, which we'll not talk about.
Was he really? I've never seen that movie. I was talking with Jason Kadani, a friend of both of ours. I have never seen the sequel to this movie.
You never do. Like, don't even.
Dan Wyman. Who the hell's that? I know I recognize
that
name.
I was just looking at Pierce Brosnan's butt in those boxes.
I'm sure you were. Now, Russell Carpenter, I believe he worked on a few Cameron films, right?
Russell Maybe? Carpenter sounds like the name of, like, Kurt Russell and John Carpenter's, like, long-lost kid or something.
There you go.
I would think of something ridiculous like that.
Brett Leonard is just in love with the color blue here. Look at the way the blue just covers the screen.
Actually, now, I think this film, like, it's a really good-looking film. It's shot really, really well.
That's a good point. It actually is. And the person whose name got me to see this, which we're not associating with this movie whatsoever, but Stephen King, isn't it kind of interesting that of all the crap that was coming out based on his name, this was the one that forced him to litigation? I guess it
was kind of like unauthorized usage of the title, because I don't, like, from what I understand, it's nothing like the short story.
It's absolutely nothing. The short story is only about 5-6 pages, if that.
Yeah, I've never read it. I've read some Stephen King stuff and other stuff I just know nothing about.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I'm more familiar with Stephen King on the screen.
Now, when this movie had come out, I was a huge Stephen King fan. And the ads for it, I mean, they used his name very prominently. And I'll be honest, I mean, come on, you listen to The Lawnmower Man, that sounds like the name of, you know, like a porno, really. I mean, if you listen to it. But if you put Stephen King's name in front of it, you know what you're getting.
Yeah, I think they kind of needed that because otherwise, yeah, you're right. It sounds like the lawnmower man. He's coming to mow your lawn.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, like that was the name that got me to see it. So, and I went and saw it, and there is literally only one line taken from that story in this movie, which I'll point out when we get there. Mm. But it's literally like there was nothing. So it didn't surprise me when I would read in Fangoria like a month later that, oh, yes, Stephen King has sued the producers.
Oh, yeah.
And Robert Shay, who's produced, you know, all the Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff, he's the one who took this and was just like, you know, I have this story. We should do something with it because Stephen King's name will make money.
And, he's not stupid.
Yeah, exactly. there's a reason that studio was around as long as it was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. You're right, Marcy. I'm glad you said that it's well shot, because just looking at this movie, that last scene is all blue. But like, it's very Cameron-esque.
You know what? Like, couldn't breathe for a second. You know, rewatching this, and it's been so long, like, since I had watched it. You know, for the most part, this is actually a pretty solid movie. I think there's a lot of, like, interesting themes going on with it. I think people just kind of remember it as being, like, the silly virtual reality thing. But you got to remember, back then, you know, that's what people thought was going to be, like, the future of technology and entertainment. It was going to be virtual reality. And I think it's an interesting, like, look at technology and, like, how far is too far with integrating it, like, into our lives, into ourselves. And I think there's also an interesting aspect about the fear of new technology as well.
It's a great point. And as you talk, where you're seeing Chucky, no, that's Jeff Fahey.
If he had red hair, he could have been Chucky.
I mean, his hair looks like a combination of like Chucky and Kurt Cobain. Like, it's a weird combination.
Look how, you
know, and he's even got the overalls like
he
Chucky.
Does.
I mean, he's like a good guy doll.
He's so adorable. I just want to pinch his cheeks.
He is an interesting guy. He's made a couple. He made a movie called Sketch Artist, which is a movie I actually really like. I don't know why. I mean, if I watched it now, I'd probably laugh at it. But back then, I remember really liking it. I think Sean Young was in it. Very good movie. But he definitely had a name back then. I mean, you know, obviously he had top billing in this movie.
Yeah, he was in like a few things, you know, looking back. But he's like a really great screen presence. And he's so versatile. Like, you look, like we mentioned Body Parts, which, you know, almost the same time, like, this character in here and the character in there, so completely different. Like, he is just the cutest, like, simple dude in this movie, like, to begin with. Like, yes, you just want to take him home in a little blanket and, like, look after him. He's just so cute.
Now, what I'm seeing now is we're looking at, I mean, you're introducing these characters here, and, you know, these are people that, they're kind of, you know, slasher movie tropes. I mean, these are guys, these are assholes who are being very mean to the guy who's going to kill them later. You know, I mean, it's a very...
Moral of the story, don't be an asshole.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, and here we have a bald guy. I have no idea where this guy is from. I don't know if he ever did anything.
But now, there's Hank from Breaking Bad.
Oh, is it really? See, oh, that made me look dumb, didn't it?
Not that guy, the bald guy on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Like, the screen.
When I was watching this the other day, this scene put me in mind of, like, Superman's Council. Like, just the way it's kind of formatted.
But, the director of the company who was, like, on the screen talking to the other bald guy who you don't know is, like... that is Hank from Breaking Bad. He just looks, he's still bald, but he's just younger. This virtual reality looks really shit. I don't think I could relax to this virtual reality like Pierce Brosnan clearly is.
But yeah, right? But I mean, Pierce Brosnan, I mean, he looks almost like he's in ecstasy, doesn't he?
But the funny thing, like, all this, like, 3D computer animated stuff. I mean, that was so expensive back then because it was still something that they were developing. And it is, it's interesting to look back and see, like, what it was like back, like, in the really early 90s.
Did you used to watch MechWarrior, or did you ever play MechWarrior?
I don't think so.
It was a virtual reality. I mean, there was a virtual reality place in the Bay Area, which is where I live, there used to be a bunch of virtual reality games you sit and play, and it cost like $5 to play. And they were really, really fun. Like, you know, you just were playing them going, God, this is the future. And it's just so bizarre. Like, the way technology is, it's just, you know, it went a completely different
so
way.
Beyond that, really.
Yeah, I know. People watching this now are probably like, God, those effects are so shitty. But back then, I mean, it was a really, that's the reason a lot of people went. You wanted to see those effects, you know.
Yeah, it is a history book.
And this woman may be one of the biggest bitches I have ever seen on screen. I mean, she's one of the just weirdest wife characters I've ever seen. You just don't see any good about her.
Mm.
You know, she's extremely cold.
It's like, but leave that bitch, time, go back to virtual reality. Jeez.
Exactly. But what's weird is she, you know, she also has a point in that this is where he's spending his time, is in this room with this virtual reality and not going on vacation with her, you know?
But that's what scientists do. They, like, get caught up in their work.
Exactly.
But I was going to bring up, like, virtual reality, I don't know what Nintendo was, like, thought that it was, but they came up with the Virtual Boy. What a fail.
Oh, man, I forgot about that. The Virtual Boy. Oh, wow. Did you have one?
God, no.
Oh, okay. I mean, wasn't that like the helmet that you just kind of wore around, and it just all, it
you
should
couldn't
just be
really wear it. You had to, like, set it up, like, on the table or something, and it was just, it would give you a headache after like a minute, and it was like just red and black.
That chair, by the way, they show that chair. That chair looks very comfortable. I never sat in one of those chairs.
Hey, Pierce, you want to sit on the chair with me? That was bad, Marcy. That's
way bad. Jeez, Marcy. Bad Marcy.
I like how he's got shorts with these, like,
now it's a director's cut. Now, before I spoke, before we started this, I told you, I guess you weren't aware, there's a director's cut.
No, I didn't know. Like, how the hell can you make this movie even longer than it is?
It's 2 hours and 24 minutes.
That's the one thing that I don't like, is I just think it's maybe 10, 15 minutes too long. I think it's got, like, a fantastic build-up.
Yes.
I just don't think, like, the very end climax is very good or very interesting.
Agreed. And when we get there, we'll definitely get into that. But in the director's cut, there's a lot more of the wife. The wife actually, you know, she's just kind of shows up and leaves here. But in the director's cut, now, I believe, I haven't seen it in years, but I believe she also dies in it, too. They show Job actually killing her.
Marcy, you're mean. Look at his beautiful blue eyes.
He does. His eyes just stand out. Now, this was back when comic books, I mean, it was kind of uncool to be a comic book nerd back then. And
we sure showed them, didn't we?
We were way ahead of our time, weren't we?
Yes.
That lawnmower, that's the exact lawnmower that's actually in the story. Just that and one line later, that's pretty much the extent of it. I mean, the story is just, it's so weird. If you read it now, it's weird.
I think I will get to Stephen King stuff at some point.
And Pierce is drinking the booze right before he became Bond, which is kind of...
And it's a bit creepy, him drinking, looking out the window, and it's like...
Now, did you see this at the movies or no?
No, this was, I think it was a VHS, because like when I was younger, my parents, like, I couldn't watch anything that was like remotely associated with horror or anything like that. So I'd go to my cousin's house and we'd just rent like everything.
Gotcha.
This was just, I think, one of those things we rented. So I didn't really remember too much of it till I rewatched it recently.
Yeah, same here. I saw it at the movies And in fact, a commercial played before this movie for a movie called Children of the Corn 2. I remember that very vaguely. And I remember just thinking, man, Stephen King's just in everything. And this story was the first time I actually walked out of a Stephen King movie and was just like, okay, that was nothing like the story. And what's going on with his name? It was a big chink in the armor, because back then I was huge into King. I read all of his books. Needful Things, Gerald's Game, Dolores Claiborne, all of those kind of came out in this 3-year span that I got them all. And I was just like, man, I got to go see this. And
yeah. See, I started reading King, it was like 94, 95 when I was like 10.
Now, Gerald is about ready to get beat up by a priest here. And
see, priests are evil.
What a weird, weird character here. I mean, what are they? Mm. Are they trying to remind us of Carrie? You know, because
it's kind of, it does have a few parallels to that, which is weird.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, there's a religious zealot, you know, and he's going after the big protagonist in the film. And, you know, it's almost Carrie-esque. But just looking at Job, I mean, you just know Job can kick his ass.
Yeah, he is picked on just like Carrie. And then he goes crazy just like Carrie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In a Tron-like outfit.
Which yes, it's very Tron.
Oh my goodness, it's so Tron.
Poor Job, look at him, poor little thing.
Oh, I know. And
who would want to, like, take a belt to him? That's just mean.
And, you know, there was a lot of this back then, too. A lot of religious nuts.
Still are.
Don't like that. Well, yeah, so but what true. I'm saying is, what I'm saying is they'd show, like, these people doing stuff this as a negative thing, you know. Mm. It's just like, these people are evil because of what they're doing.
Mm.
But you're supposed to hate them now. But the priest is just, he's such a weird character in this. Why is he mad at Job? Like, what did Job do to get him mad?
He's taking out all his anger on Job? I don't know. But it makes sense, like, because you can see that the Pierce Brosnan character is very obsessed with his work, and Job is like the perfect guinea pig for what he's doing.
Yes.
So, like, the build-up, I think, is really, really clever. I know people don't really give this movie a lot of credit, but there's a lot of good stuff there. Like, it's a very competent movie as far as, like, telling a story.
It is a very competent film. It's, you know, it's a very, I think it's, I mean, when looking at Brett Leonard's resume, oh, there's my dog. He's making his presence felt.
he doesn't like virtual reality.
Looking at Brett Leonard's resume, the guy who did this, I mean, this is, it's between this and Virtuosity as his best film, I think.
He was obsessed, man. Like virtual reality obsession.
Really?
No. I'm saying, obviously, he had a virtual reality obsession.
Oh, I thought that was you who had a virtual reality obsession.
No, not really.
Yeah, I mean, he was obsessed with technology, and, you know, I mean, he had a lot of good points, and, you know, how technology was going to take over. I mean, you know, not exactly the way this movie displays, or Virtuosity, but, you know. But, you know, and he did a movie called Hideaway with Jeff Goldblum and Alicia Silverstone, which I actually kind of like. But in looking at his resume, I think this is probably my favorite, because, you know.
But. Yeah, it's interesting, like, again, just what people thought, like, technology was going to be like, but I think it's taken over our lives in such a different way.
Yes.
Like, we really have become zombies to technology. Like, everyone's on their phones all the time. Everyone's, like, on their laptop, on their iPad, on their whatever.
And oh, man.
Everything we do has to go online, and I am definitely guilty of that. Like, I can't relax, you know, I can't keep still, so I'm always on my phone because it gives me something to do, and I hate it.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it. So I think in a way these movies kind of, well, people just had that feeling that technology was going to become, like, part of our lives. It was going to really become us, and I think that's what makes films like this really interesting as well.
Yeah, very, very good point. Very
funny. I can be smart on time to time.
Every once in a while you come up with a smart one, but
when my brain is functioning, there are things like that make me feel really stupid. Like, I went to get my breakfast, I got out my cereal, and for a few seconds, I forgot how to pour cereal.
Well, at least you didn't get lost in the cereal box. That would be a whole different
thing. I mean, my brain is just a weird thing.
Well, maybe you could use some of these tests that, I forget Pierce Brosnan's character's name. Angelo.
Look at Jeff Fight.
I know, look how wide his eyes are. He's just like, this is going to be awesome.
He's so cute.
This is an interesting transformation where, you know, look at his hair, but towards the middle, like the end of the movie, his hair is all nice and, you know, he's just a completely different
dude
person.
Dude completely changed. He's like, he goes from looking like this frumpy dude, then he's like, I'm going to get on some sexy jeans, a nice tight top, and show off my muscles.
He turns all cowboy. Oh, Marcy, we're getting ahead of ourselves, babe.
Yes, we are.
But, you know, like, go to, like, San Francisco one time, and you will see just, oh, look at his white eyes.
He's so cute.
You know, people head first in their phones, crossing the street, and in their cars, which is scary in a big, big city. It's just weird the way our society is just so zombie. Like,
I know the zombie apocalypse is here.
It is.
People
now,
are
this
zombies.
Thing, I mean, Dr. Angelo must have spent some buco bucks to get this installed in his house because
I know, right?
Those things are moving and they are going along with it. And this right here, this actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's actually not too bad as far as like the effects go.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. They're going through blades right here.
It looks like a fun game. I don't know if I'd want to play it on those, like, sex chairs. They look like things that you'd have sex on, and they move up and down.
Well, we'll see that later, too. We'll definitely be seeing that later.
There is a bit of that later.
Now, those effects... I mean, it's just, you know, it almost looks like those 70s and 80s. Like, remember, I don't know if you remember, you're probably you're younger than me, but like, yeah. Like album covers, like Rush and those kinds of bands, King Floyd, they always had covers that looked like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
you know what I think is really interesting, just that, you know, while it's kind of on screen, is that they have the kid character. Because I think it really helps show a lot the transformation of Job, because the kid is a lot smarter and more confident than Job is. But
Great.
Then Job really transforms to, you know, kind of on his level and then above his level.
Great point. You know, I didn't even think about that, but you're right. And I kind of think, you know, that was one character that actually just really gets lost in the shuffle. You know, he kind of comes into play towards the end, but you kind of forget about the kid, you know, throughout the course of this movie, because Job's just so obsessed with, you know, I mean, his whole plan becomes just really weird, and we'll get there when we get there, but
yeah.
Right now he's still in good guy garb. He's looking tucky and sitting talking to Pierce. And Fahey, I mean, he's an interesting guy, just looking at him, but he's not leading man quality, you know? He just doesn't have a leading man thing to him. But
He definitely suits something like this, or body parts, where he needs to have something, like, really weird going on. Because it works. Like, with body parts, he's investigating, like, something weird happening to him after the arm transplant.
Yes.
And I think that kind of thing works. Like, if he was to be, like, say, a romantic lead in something, I couldn't really see that.
Yeah. Yeah, he, you know, he definitely couldn't do the whole rom-com.
But I wouldn't want him to be either.
And Robert Rodriguez actually uses him very well in his stuff. I think he does some good things with him. You know, he was awesome in Planet Terror, I thought.
And I thought he kicked ass in Lost, because that was just so cool.
I never watched more than two episodes of Lost. That's another one I haven't seen. Breaking Bad and Lost, two shows that your audience and my audience are probably going to hate me for. Hate me for watching. Hey, he's got some Coors. I'm drinking Coors right now.
I wish I could get Coors here, but no.
No coffee for Mercy, huh? Now, what is now? Is this like what Drago takes? What exactly is this stuff that Angelo's giving to Job?
I don't quite know. Oh, look at his face. That hurt.
Nice little reaction from Job here.
He's just so cute.
So this wasn't one of your like go-to movies when you were growing up, right, Marcy? This wasn't one where you're just like, I have to watch this. Like no, it was just
because it depends what age like I would be at would depend on what I mean. All my life, say Stand By Me has always been the go-to movie. But then that is like my favorite movie ever. And it's based on something by Stephen King. And I think it's the best Stephen King movie, but I also think it's better than what Stephen King wrote. And he actually agrees with that.
Does he really?
Yes. He says that it really surpassed like what he wrote. So,
you know, when reading that story, I agree with him. I think, you know, the story's there. I mean, we're going into a Stand By Me
we can talk about that now, during this. It's relevant.
Yeah, it's fine. I definitely, but I think what was missing from the story and what Rob Reiner captured was the heart. The heart of that story is just so magnetized in the movie. And I mean, that whole series of stories in that collection, different seasons, they're all really, really good. And, you know, two of them came out as really good films, Shawshank and Stand By Me.
So. Yeah, and the last story in that book, I don't know how they could ever make a movie out of it, but there you go.
Oh, that last story. I remember the last story being nuts. But I also forgot At Pupil's also in it, too, which was also a decent movie. I like that story.
Yeah, it's an interesting read as well as an interesting movie.
Now, this guy here, Job's older partner here, what I know he was in a ton of movies back in the 90s, but I can't really...
And see, this chick here, she was in Near Dark.
I looked her up when I was watching it the other day, and I was just like, man, she's actually kind of pretty. I wonder if she was in anything. And yeah, Near Dark, that was a big thing with her, which, by the way, I just watched for the first time about a year ago. I had never seen it.
It's one of my favorites.
It's a great film. Great film. Here's Job. I guess this is his version of flirting, huh?
I'm going to eat a sandwich and look at you.
She doesn't look too impressed, does she? But yeah, like later on, like Job becomes almost cowboyish. He starts wearing cowboy garb and it's like, I'm just counting down to when he's, oh, look at Pierce freaking jumping on
Job's hair is starting to look like more groomed now.
Yeah, yeah.
The smarter he gets, the better his hair looks.
Now, clear this up. What exactly are these games doing to his head? They're just making him smarter? That's what they're doing?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a way to measure like how far he's come. I don't know.
Like Brett Leonard, like he made him... He just had him become almost this god through virtual reality. I mean, what's he trying to say? Like, video games are going to make people into gods? Like, it's a weird story. This looks like another cool game. Look at this game. Very Tron-esque. Looks like Tron.
To virtual reality, like, people look just weird. it's better than the virtual boy. I think, like, in a way, it could be, like, technology is really good, but it's only going to be good. I had it in my head what I wanted to say, like, technology has its limits. Is what I'm trying to say. So the smarter and more crazier he gets, I think that's when it just takes over too much.
Now, Job, unlike Pierce here, he's shaved his chest.
he's hairless, man.
He is. And now this is when the cowboy look kind of starts up here.
This is when he finally like has confidence. He's like, fuck you, bitch. Okay, maybe he doesn't say it like that, but.
The confidence is oozing. We can cuss on this, right, Maris? I wasn't...
Oh, yeah. We can cuss.
Okay.
I couldn't have a podcast if I couldn't be myself. And being myself is swearing really bad.
Yes, it is.
It just comes naturally. But what can I say? All,
that's what we love about you, girl. That's what we love about you.
Filthy, filthy mouth.
Now, for some reason, the priest here is thinking Dr. Angelo was putting the devil in his head, which...
Technology is the devil.
Well,
too much of,
ways,
of it can be. I think that's what it's trying to say.
He might have a point there. Man, I never realized just how much of the priest we see.
Mm. Look at him. He's got like a six-pack going on. Not the priest, yeah, obviously, Joe.
Yeah, Fahey got in shape for this role, didn't he? He kind of buffed up. Here he's looking at his reflection.
It's a pretty bad reflection because that mirror is pretty shit.
And here we see his brain getting bigger. Now, how much of King have you read?
Well, different seasons I've read, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite. Let's see. God, I've read Carrie. I do remember reading The Shining, but it's something I'd probably have to read again because I didn't really get much of it. I think I was just too young. It's really hard to remember, Jesus.
Really?
I know I've got some books somewhere, like, I think I read, oh my god, I'd have to look it up and, like, remember what the hell I've read.
I didn't mean to stump you.
You fucking stumped me, man. Let me go back and see.
Well, while you think here, I have an aunt who every year for Christmas, I mean, since I was, about 14 or so, has sent me the new Stephen King story, or the new Stephen King book. Like, every year, she always sends me one. And still to this day, every Christmas, I get the new Stephen King book from her for Christmas. And, which is something I never treasure. Oh, there you go, Marcy. There's your butt shot.
Hello.
Now, is that a stunt butt, or what exactly?
I'm choosing to believe it's his. I mean, look at it. I don't like his hair. It looks, yeah. I don't know, something looks off.
His hair is looking even more groomed.
That was very groomed.
He just has just, those eyes are just, they're huge.
So
they're just,
big and blue.
They are. They really are. But yeah, so I treasure that. And, you know, I still read as much King as I can, you know, but right now I'm head first into Game of Thrones. So King will be the last on my list for quite a while.
Yeah, I haven't read Game of Thrones, and I've only seen, like, season one.
I am halfway through book three, which I've been for quite a while, but I've been doing a lot of writing.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of...
As much as I love reading, and it's something that is really hard for me to do just because of, like, the chronic illnesses that ail me. Like, I can get really lightheaded and dizzy and nauseated, and trying to read when you feel like that is impossible. So,
yeah,
it's definitely hard to try and find, like, you know, a time when you're not feeling like that to actually read. I really just want to change Job's hair. I don't like that hair look. I like the rest of it because he's looking pretty fine.
Well, I'm not going to add on to that, but what I will say is he was just called Lawnmower Man. I guess that's the only time he's actually called that.
Well, he's the Lawnmower Man. He mows the lawn. God, he's just so adorable. Like that face, those cheeks. Oh my god.
Well, you got Pierce over here. Pierce is no slouch.
Oh no! Look at that stubble, man.
That's the thing. This is one of the only. This wouldn't be. I guess the last half of it would be a slasher, wouldn't it? It's almost slasher-esque towards the end.
Yeah, it does change a lot. All right, let's see. Let's go down things I can remember reading from Stephen King.
Oh, here we go.
So there was Carrie, Christine. I don't think I read Cujo. I read Dolores. Or however you say it. Insomnia, I'm pretty sure I had that.
Yeah.
Rose Mad Matter, however you pronounce that.
Rose Matter. Rose Matter gave me nightmares when I read it. That was
That's a so book weird. The Shining, which I want to revisit that.
Yeah. The Shining.
I remember getting like halfway through Tommyknockers and being like, I don't fucking understand shit.
I did the same thing.
That's like stuff I can remember.
You never read Gerald's Game?
Did I read what?
Gerald's Game?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've read obviously different seasons and some other shorter story collections. Whatever Children of the Corn was in.
That was in Night Shift.
Know that I've read that. I don't know if I read anything else in there.
Yeah, because this story is in that story.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I know, I think, this is really bad, but I think I picked it up at the bookstore and just sat and read it and put it back on the shelf.
You're one of those people.
Oh, I had so much time to pass. I was just sitting in the store and, like, read it. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't have any money. I'm going to put it back.
Now we're getting close. In fact, I think they're doing it right now. I think they'll be wearing their Tron suits here.
Yeah, I think so.
There they are.
In one of those weird contraptions that people would go on to turn upside down and stuff.
I guess Disney saw King sue them and was like, you know what? We're not going to even go on top of this. So they probably don't have any money to give us anyway. But I think they have a lawsuit on their hands because these are flat out Tron suits. That's what they are. Wow. I mean, looking at that, looking at them in those things just makes me sick. It's like I could not handle being
I would like vomit. I can't go on a freaking like roller coaster. I'm not gonna want to be like swayed around on one of those, especially with like motion sickness and my lightheadedness and whatever else freaking wants to ail me in my head.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. I mean, he's turning around here, and he's about ready to go upside down. And I guess that represents his brain getting stronger. I guess what that effect
it's
was.
It's weird, like, the way it doesn't really explain, like, how it's meant to work.
Yeah.
I guess it's just feeding his brain so much stuff.
I guess that's what it is. It's just kind of overloading his brain. I mean, is it kind of
looking at his brain as like an empty computer and then you're just storing all this stuff on there? I don't know.
Now, I guess this would be almost like, this is also a Stephen King thing. I guess this is the company, you know, like Firestarter. Firestarter had the company where they were, you know, they were test subjects and stuff. And I think that's what this is supposed to represent. I'm not sure. But, that would be another part of Stephen King that they kind of inserted in here. But I'm glad, you know, it was weird because King sued, and then Robert Shea said, you know what, we bought the story, it's ours, we could do what we want. And then King countersued again, and what the judge ruled was Shea would have to pay $10,000 per day he had Stephen King's name on it. And so eventually Shea was like, all right, fuck it.
Sorry, I'm just watching Jeff Fahey with his shirt off mowing the lawn.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should stop because, you know, this is a horror movie where this is for the girls because I'm watching this and I'm like, okay, this is
Brokeback Lawnmower. It's a lot of shirtless, like, men action in this movie.
This is Brokeback Lawnmower where there's, like, no girl action going on.
Brokeback Lawnmower. Well, he's about to get laid, so...
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this scene, too. I mean, he gets down with this girl.
It's his first time. He's, like, never been with a chick. And the guy with him was like, go up there!
Well, I guess this is the old adage, you know, poon will make you go crazy. I guess that's what this is supposed to mean. Here's his first act of sex right here. And I don't... Like you said, what else was this girl in?
Near Dark.
Yeah, Near Dark and this, and I can't think of much else.
I don't know if she did a lot of stuff.
But look at, I mean, he doesn't even know how to kiss this guy.
It's so cute.
He he's just like, man, I guess if this happens, I'll just go outside without my shirt more often.
Oh, he's got his boner.
I mean, how can you not see it with those jeans?
Those jeans are way too tight. I can't even talk, they're that tight. Oops, I see her boobs.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
sex is, like, really awkward, but I guess it's supposed to because he's never done it before.
Yeah, this isn't exactly Basic Instinct-esque, is it? This is...
This is an amateur
here.
Yeah, it's not really doing anything. They've even got, like, the satin sheets.
Oh, I know. This girl's living large. And we're right back to the blue set. Man, there's a lot of blue in this movie. Mm. I forgot just how much blue was here. That's and cute. Here's where Angelo is just like, you know what? I've made him too strong.
Because Pierce Brosnan looks like his last name would be Angelo.
You know what? I was thinking that too. He does not look like an Angelo. Like, if I were to think of those two guys, if someone said, yeah, one of them's named Angelo, I would say the bald guy is.
he looks like a Pierce Brosnan.
Now, here's more stuff hooked up to Job's head. I mean, you know, he just got through having sex, so he's happy.
He's, like, relaxed and just, like...
He's relaxed and he's just like, okay.
Someone should have given him a cigarette.
Oh, there's the kid again. He's back hanging out with the kid.
Now, this is kind of, like, where we realize he's suffering for getting smarter. He goes
I thought you were going to say this is when we realize we're in the 90s because he just has a CD player taking the copyright here.
That was like state of the art back then. No, when they go into the diner and his head is just hurting, like it's having like such an effect on him. Like we realize like he can read minds. His brain has just been unlocked.
I'm trying to think just... You know, like, I mean, I guess it's the old, you know, let's make a soldier super, you know, the whole thing where I guess if we get this right on him, we can make a bunch of super soldiers. But still, like, why would you do this to somebody? I just...
Yeah, and this kid, he's, like, using Job for his comics.
Absolutely he is.
Like, what a little
shithead. He's using him. Yeah, this... I forgot about this scene. This is where he starts reading minds and everybody's blurry and...
It's like you realize, like, it's not just about him, like, gaining knowledge and stuff. It's really just, like, unlocking the human brain, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, his brain's just whacked right here. And now everybody's looking at him weird. And he's, but, I mean, you got to think. I mean, back then, these effects right here, I mean, you look at him now, it just looks like an LSD trip. But those were cool effects, you know. I mean, people went to the theater because, A, they saw Stephen King's name. B, they saw the effects. And another thing I remember from the ads was God Job, the guy we meet later at the end of the film, you know, him saying, I am a god. Like, that was the other thing that got people in the seats. I mean, it made a modest... Made a modest sum of money. It made about 30 mil, you know, on a $10 million budget.
I think those effects were trying to, like, represent being able to see sound, like...
Yeah.
To represent what he's going through. Now my dog just decided he wants to come on my lap and lick my face. Thanks, buddy. What I've always wanted.
I don't know where mine went. He's guarding the door, I think. Mm. He's a guard dog.
Roddy wants love from his mummy.
Those Dachshunds think they're guard dogs.
Yeah, Chihuahuas are just insane.
So these two, Marcy, just to clear up, you are more of a Fahey guy a Fahey girl than a.
I didn't know I grew a penis magically.
Gotcha. Pierce hasn't shaved in a while. There's an earring too. I didn't see the earring there.
It's hard to say, like, who I like more. I think they're both pretty hot in this movie.
Do you really? And I'm stuck looking at bald guys here. This was not a good commentary to do.
It's just all about the men.
Yeah, call me when you do the Basic Instinct one.
Well, you did see boobs briefly.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Through the most awkward sex scene.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, you know what? There have been a lot of awkward sex scenes in cinema over the years, but I think this one's got to be up in the top five.
It was very awkward. It's not showgirls awkward, but it is awkward.
And we're back at the council, at the Kryptonian council here. You know, it's funny because I'm watching the DVD here, and I know there's a commentary hooked to it with Brett Leonard, and I'm kind of scared to listen to it.
They can't be better than ours.
What the hell could they be talking about?
See, and now Job is like taking charge with the bony.
He's taking charge. He's on top now. And
it's not as awkward, I guess.
Yeah, and the lights are all turned off. I mean, it's he's blue. In full stride here.
It's all
blue. Yeah, I didn't realize how much sex was in this movie. That the way that scene was lit right there, it's almost like the sex scene in Nightmare on Elm Street 5 when they're all in blue and it looked like Skinamax.
And now his like head's going bonkers.
Yeah, now he's going way awkward. Now what's he doing? He's taking the drugs.
He's kind of like changes the drugs, but I don't know. Like, this was what I didn't quite understand. I don't know.
Boy, that's a whole bunch of hidden meetings that Mr. Leonard's trying to get at here.
really?
I mean, this was weird because this was like New Line Cinema and Freddie was dead like the year before.
Freddie was dead.
My guess is they're trying to start another franchise here. That's my guess. You know, just the way this thing ends.
Yeah, and then they made another movie which sucked.
Which is very Matrix-esque, by the way this movie ends.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that you would later see in The Matrix in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, God, Marcy, this just makes me, my head hurt.
Yeah, it's crazy. Warning, his brain is getting too big.
Obviously, the thing in his pants isn't the only thing that's a little too big here. Now his brain's getting a little big. But
is there a reason why they wear these suits? Like, what does that achieve? I don't understand.
I don't understand it either, but he gets what's-her-face in one a little later.
It's like he's having a seizure right now.
Pierce almost looks like, he almost looks like Hugh Jackman here. Like, the way, oh boy, look at his eyes are wide, and they're not wide in a good way now.
Yeah, now things are not looking good. Dog, get off my lap, you're really fat and heavy.
That's the way I get my girlfriends to leave, is I just tell them they're
fat. You're fat and heavy.
More shirtless
man action, by the way.
Yeah, more man action. Oh, more. Now, this I thought was very Stephen King-esque right here. I think this was a good flavor that they added
here. Telekinesis. Just,
yes. Here in a little bit, like you're going to see the toothpaste here when he opens the cupboard. And this is very King-esque. I thought this
I love his reminded... facial reactions as he's doing this.
Yeah, it's nicely done. But just watching this, it's just like, man, now I want to go on like a Children of the Corn tirade. Like now, a rampage. I want to watch all the Children of the Corn.
Look
now.
At that pose. That's like a porn cover pose.
Completely. I mean, look at that. That's put that side by side next to Goldblum's from Jurassic Park.
That one's actually, this one's actually, like, worth looking at.
But see, that, here that girl just doesn't look as good. Now she looks very 90s. It doesn't really look that nice to me. Earlier, she was looking really good out on the patio, but here it's just like, no.
Yeah, this is when they try to have virtual sex.
Oh, here's that scene.
Yeah, this is just weird.
The cover of every album from the 80s is about to happen here. This was a weird thing. Now, what it does to his brain, I guess it also does to other things, huh? Here? Like, what he's going to do to her, does it, like, heighten the sex?
I don't know.
Like, is this like before they put it in Viagra form, what he's about ready to do to her? I mean...
I don't know. It's confusing.
Now, how does he turn this on? That he does it with telekinesis?
I don't know.
Come on, Marcy, you're supposed to have the answers here. I'm the question answer. Yeah, I represent the audience. You're the expert.
I don't think they really explain it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he, like, turned it on. Oh, look, virtual reality boobs.
Don't you know, watching this, especially scenes like this, doesn't it kind of, this is going to sound very odd, doesn't it make you kind of crave a 3D conversion version of it?
No.
It'd be kind of cool. Look at this. Look,
it's virtual reality, weird sex, whatever.
Yeah.
Did his virtual reality man just have testicles? Or were they just seeing things?
And look at this. They're into each other. Like, she's still into it, and now they turn into a moth, which is very odd. Or is that a dragonfly?
So I don't know. I think it's a dragonfly.
Yeah.
Is it symbolizing, like, they've connected together? I don't know.
And now she's stuck in... Now is that Mangu? What exactly is that?
I don't know.
What is that representing? Brett Leonard, what are you trying to tell us here?
I don't know.
Like, now, is she in pain? Like,
it doesn't really exactly make sense.
No.
It really doesn't.
Now his eyes, they're showing close-ups of his eyes here. I mean,
turns into a monster thing.
Yeah. I guess that's him getting a little bit out of control. But, yeah, I mean, right now, Stephen King's watching this. I'm just thinking of Stephen King watching this now and just thinking, what have they done to my story? I mean, this is so out of left field. To pay however much it was to buy this story, I guess it wasn't cheap, and to do what they're doing here is just like, what are you doing to my story?
He really set
a precedent to
this was a weird it's just a weird sequence. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's very odd. Like, why would Job feel the urge to take this girl? Why would he do any of this? Like, it just doesn't make
sense.
Why
would
he
do that when he can just actually bone her?
Exactly. And now he's saying he hurt her. And now he's mowing the lawn with more. Ooh, he's even just letting them.
He's just doing it like with his brain.
Wow. You know, we have people mow our lawn every week. I guess, you know, it'd be nice to have them do that so that I don't have to look at them.
I wish I could do that because I don't like gardening. I get bitten by every single bug on the planet of the Earth in the, like, hour or so we're after doing gardening.
And all bugs are out in Australia, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's not a bug not represented out there.
And they all just want to attack you and kill you.
Man, look at those satin sheets. Those are just...
Is he, like, telekinesising, sexing her? Or I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to the part of the movie now. I mean, like you said, there was a great build-up. And now we're at the part where it's just like, okay, what's happening?
Yeah, I mean,
you guys aren't giving us any answers.
I mean, I think they explain, like, they've unlocked parts of the brain that have just been dormant for a very long time. Yeah. Which I think makes, that can make sense. I just think it kind of gets to this point and almost doesn't know where to go.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. That's how it feels. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It goes on for the next maybe like 20 minutes. It's okay, but then it just loses its shit.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, right now we're about 51 minutes into it, and now he's finally getting ready to go crazy.
He's just like, I'm going to do some telekinesis on this chair, bitch.
See, now we're getting into... What is this, Poltergeist right now? Like, we're just moving chairs, and this is...
See, if I could have a power, I think telekinesis would be badass.
That would be cool. And you know, when I was a kid, like, it just... There were so many questions I had. Like, is telekinesis real? I mean, the way King has people do stuff like this, it makes you think that it can happen.
You think, you know, like, maybe it's possible?
You know, I think that's one of his strengths, is being able to take these human characters and make situations like this seem like they can happen. And here's when Angelo is just like, I'm scared of you.
I've created a monster. See, Dr. Angelo could be like Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a bit of that, like, kind of in here a little bit.
Little bit.
I mean, but that's like such a universal story that you can take like elements and themes from it fairly easily.
I mean, look, he's like, you're moving too fast, Job. You're scaring me.
I'm Pierce Brosnan, and I'm a good-looking man.
You're a good-looking man. I'm a good-looking man. Let's evaluate each other.
Let's break back this shit up. Marcy will be happy. Hell yeah.
My wife just left me.
See, look how Pierce sells like him getting into his brain. I love it. I love the acting. Know. It's so like.
I know. That's it. That must have been a weird day on the set.
But as ridiculous as it is, like, he, like, sells it, though. He doesn't half-ass it. He's, like, totally on board. Oh, he's shirtless again.
Oh, there's paper chest hair. And look, in order to get the point across, it has to have a screen that says recording right by his hair. Because we don't realize that it's recording. Marcy, I'm going to ask you to entertain our audience for a bit. I got to go use the restroom, okay?
Oh, really? All right.
I'll be back in 10 seconds.
Okay. I'm going to sit here talking to myself. And of course, there's no shirtless action as I'm sitting here talking to myself, which is disappointing. But this is where the sinister company comes into play. They don't want to listen to Angelo, what he has to say. He's been lying to them. He hasn't like told them about how far Job has gone, but that other bold guy found out because he was watching. So basically, don't mess with like some big evil corporation because they'll screw you over. And especially if they have bold heads, because apparently that's a running theme that baldies are not very nice. And the other theme is shirtless men, obviously. Oh, Pierce is getting angry. And he's selling it. Hand gestures and all. And
floppy now here's Pierce's Oscar clip right here, right?
It is. I was just saying, he's doing his hand gestures, floppy hair. Absolutely.
This is the clip he turned into the Academy to go for an Oscar.
Pierce Brosnan for the Lawnmower Man.
Now, which one of these is in Breaking Bad? It's the guy sitting down?
It's the guy behind the desk.
He's at the desk.
Yes. Okay.
You know, I've heard from you, I've heard from Moreno, I've heard from a lot of people start watching Breaking Bad. I think the thing that'll make me finally start watching it is I saw the guy in Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, see the guy getting up now. That's Hank. He's the brother-in-law.
Gotcha.
He's, like, one of the most, like, entertaining characters on that show.
Is he really? Because he's a bore in this.
I think he's supposed to be, and you know that he just wants to break out and, like, do something.
Oh, CD in the CD player.
Cars are still equipped with CD players, by the way.
That, I mean, night driving scene. I mean, come on, Michael Mann. I mean, is that what Brent Leonard's going for there? Like almost a Michael Mann Heat-esque scene of Job driving?
Maybe.
And
now Job is pretty much like, he needs more power.
Yeah. Yeah, this is when he becomes drunk with power, so to say.
With power.
I mean, look at that. I mean, what is that? Is that strawberry soda in there?
I don't know. I think they explained, but I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me.
Because, I mean, he's injecting himself like, what other movie has an injector like that? I'm drawing a complete blank. But there are more movies. I mean, it's almost Resident Evil-esque, what he's doing
and
right
he's
here.
He's just like losing his shit now.
Oh, hello, God, another shirtless piercing. Jesus Christ, how many times is this guy going to take his shirt off in this movie?
He's got a bit of a six-pack going on, too.
Yeah, Pierce.
And he's Pierce, nice and wet.
You know, you know Pierce was sitting down and just waiting for the Bond call, and he got the call for this. Like, God damn it, I got in shape to be in the Lawnmower Man.
And I'm very happy for it.
I've arrived here in shape, so you have to show me, like, without my shirt, like, four times, because I didn't do this to be in this.
I might need a cold shower after all the shirtless Brosnan and fame.
Oh,
this
stop,
movie.
Marcy. Just stop.
It's too sexy. I can't handle it.
Oh, that's we finally heard his name. His name is Larry.
Yeah, Lawrence Angelo.
Lawrence Angelo.
Because he looks like a Lawrence Angelo.
He doesn't look like any of those.
He doesn't even look like a Larry, like Lawrence you changed to Larry. Like, that's what he looks like. He could be like, I don't know, James Bond would suit him.
I was thinking, like, Lawrence Angelo, I mean, that's something, you know, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne was coming off of, you know, he was coming off Boys in the Hood the year before. They should have gotten him to be in this.
Yeah, but did you see him with the surname Angelo?
Him more than Pierce Brosnan.
I mean, I could see, like, say, now I just think of someone. like, some Italian-esque actor.
Oh, Pierce just attacking with cigarette in mouth, by the way.
Looking very hot, too.
Oh. Here we see a dolly shot. That's almost like The Shining. We're taking shots of inside the hotel now.
Yeah, see, it is a really, like, nicely shot movie.
You know what? It is. It really is very nicely shot.
And they, like, with all the blue scenes, like, they really make, like, good use of color and lighting.
Yeah, in fact, I feel just another script doctor or like another script touch up, and this could have gone from, you know, campy cult hit to being something respected at least.
I mean,
you know,
this is something like I think that you could use it for a basis of like a remake.
Absolutely,
because. You could still have, like, a guy who mows the lawn be the Lawnmower Man. He could be, like, a really simple guy, like Joe. But you could add in, like, you know, make it up for what the technology is today, like, to make this guy, like, really smart with today's technology and really use that as, like a, you know, a social commentary on, like, how people are using technology today and how much they're so, like, warped up in it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've always liked that scene of Brosnan telling the waiter, okay, just keep this gun on him. Don't shoot him if he moves. Yeah, I was a bellboy at a hotel for a while, and I always think of it like being like, I don't know if I'd be able to do that.
See, I think like Pierce Brosnan going like a bit crazy now, it kind of parallels Job's own insanity. With power.
I guess you can look at it like that. Now, briefly describe to me, what is 2? Like, what is the plot of 2? Is it just a whole nother guy, or is there...
It's the meant to be the same character, but it's a different guy, and it's just stupid.
Is it?
Yeah, I can't even describe it. It's just so dumb.
Gotcha.
Look, he's smoking now, a pipe, an old school pipe.
Speaking of dumb, we haven't seen the child in quite a while. So, I mean, I don't know if he's still a part of this story.
He's there so Job can, like, kill his dad, his abusive dad, basically.
Yeah, which they showed for, like, 2 seconds earlier. But, you know, I guess you don't want to show him for too much. Oh, here comes one of, I don't know if it's one of the worst effects or the best effects I've ever seen.
It's a bit of both, I think.
And here is the turn where it almost turns into a slasher film from here on out. Look at how powerful Job is right now.
Yeah, Job is like God right now.
Yeah. I mean, his voice is lower. He's, you know, he doesn't have it.
You know, this whole, like, this part of the film, I think it does show, like, the insanity of both the characters really well. I think that's why they parallel each other in a way.
Mm-hmm. Look how well-lit this is, too. I mean, this is a very well-lit scene here. He's struggling here, and he does a pretty decent job. Job as Job.
And it's interesting that they use, like, that religious, like, you know, a name from the Bible as well for the character.
Oh, that's right, Job from the Bible. Yeah, it's a good point. Very good point. I mean, look, now his suit's lighting up.
He's trotting out. I keep expecting Jeff Bridges to walk in. Give me back my suit.
Now, why isn't the priest here? Why isn't he wearing any clothes underneath that robe? I don't get it.
It's nighttime. He was asleep, or he was, I don't know.
Jesus.
I'm not going to make any inappropriate priest jokes, because that would be in poor taste.
Very poor taste, which is kind of like the makeup effects artist there, because that was one of the worst effects I've ever seen.
It's pretty funny.
Almost as bad as the wasps, which we'll see here in a little bit.
These sequences here is like Job is taking out his revenge because he's just lost the plot. But who wouldn't want to like take revenge out on these assholes? I love how he's got his lawnmower.
He's got his lawnmower there, and he almost looks like Michael Myers there. I mean, look, I mean, he's in the dark. He's
surrounded by smoke. What a great, like, shot that is.
Yeah, it's a very nice shot. And he just called him Lawnmower Man again.
I just love, like, why the fuck does he need his lawnmower? I'm just going to fucking bring it anyway.
Maybe he didn't feel like walking. He just rode his lawnmower there.
I wish they showed that scene.
We get a slow motion shot of him falling.
I love like how he's in that Tron suit. It's just like, why?
That is so bizarre, isn't it?
It's just because it glows. It's so bizarre.
And here's the gas nozzles here. Just, he's being killed by suffocation from the gas nozzles, I guess.
I love how it's glowing. Like, that suit's just glowing.
The suit's glowing. It's almost like, you know how in the, I just watched this last week, that's why it's coming to mind, Temple of Doom, how when you put, there's the god in his eye. You know how in Temple of Doom, when you take the two stones and you put them next to each other, they glow? The diamonds inside them glow. That's almost the way I feel about Job's suit, is as soon as he gets mad, it glows. And this here, I mean, what the hell does this mean here? What is this saying? Oh, he put them in his head. That's what it is. So, yeah, so his suit has the Temple of Doom stone effect, if that makes any sense. Look how fast Pierce is going here.
I'll drive in his car.
I'm sure you will. Now, here comes a pretty cool death. I've always liked this death.
I think the mum and the kid, like, you know, they're suffering because this stupid abusive man that they're too stupid to leave. Well, they're not too stupid to leave, but they're kind of, I don't know, it's always complicated, but you know what? The stupid man's about to get shut up, and he's watching wrestling.
I was about ready to say, at least he's got good taste in what he watches, right? Tito Santana, wrestling with the storm there. I mean, did you hear that? They even said WrestleMania in that
clip. Yeah, they did, I know.
Which reminds me, Marcy's other podcast.
Yes, tune in to the Super Squared Circle podcast where we discuss wrestling.
And since you're done with that, listen to Director's Chair on AdventureAmigos.net. See, look, I mean, I don't even know what this guy looked like from afar.
No, because they never really showed him.
No, they really didn't.
But he just looks like that typical dickhead who beats his family, sits and drinks beer and just sits on his ass.
Wearing wife beater.
Yeah.
By the way, Marcy, do you remember Silver Bullet? In Silver Bullet, an abusive guy dies while watching wrestling. What does Stephen King have against wrestling?
You must think all abusers watch wrestling. It's not true, because I don't abuse anyone unless it's verbally, and it's usually Bede, because he's just terrible.
And here comes the lawnmower. Hey, look at Job. He's just like,
I'm going to stick my lawnmower on you, bitch.
He is in complete control. I mean, we even get lawnmower vision here. Where
lawnmower vision, it is.
Where we see it from the
lawnmower. This is a great freaking scene. It's so silly, but it's just brilliant.
Look at this thing fly.
The lawnmower is just like flying.
Well, one thing about this movie I noticed.
Oh, and then it just fades out. Like, I wanted to see that bitch get hacked up.
There's a few cuss words, but there's not much blood in it. It's very bloodless. Coming up is the one line.
Yes, it is.
Story. It's coming up here.
They're like, well, let's just keep this line.
Now, is that a Beamer he's driving? What exactly is Pierce driving here?
I don't know, but I don't think that you could have sex in the back seat with him. It doesn't look big enough.
This guy, he's coming off the set of a Demolition Man in his cop uniform to <let's see. laughs> I've always liked this guy. This guy has always made me laugh. He was great in Cuffs.
Such a long time.
Oh, it's such a good movie. I watched it like last week. There it
is.
Do you
know how much I still love Christian Slater? Oh my god.
The one part of the story was just right there. Yeah. He said, "With the officer asked him, where's the rest of them?
And in the bird bath.
It's in the bird bath. That's the one scene that's in the book.
And it's just so random.
I know. Isn't it? It almost feels like they wrote that scene and then they kind of wrote the script around that, you know? And somehow stuck virtual reality in the middle of all of it.
You know, I would love to, like, talk to somebody that was a part of this movie. Preferably, you know, there's two stars. But that's probably not likely to happen. Hey, maybe I'll try to look up Jeff Fahey and be like,
I was going to say, I'm sure Jeff Fahey would talk to you at this point. I don't know what he's doing lately.
I'll just flash him my pretty brown eyes to his pretty blue eyes. Something might happen. But he still does. His eyes are just so amazing still.
Does he go to cons at all? Has he ever gone to like a convention?
But I should sort of like a petition, be like, bring him to Australia just for me.
Shit, he's still in his Tron uniform.
It's not glowing though. It doesn't look as good in the day.
And you're right, in the daytime it just looks, he looks like a jackass pretty much.
I'm going to wear this suit because I can.
Because I can. And I just kill somebody with a lawnmower.
See, I think this movie maybe had maybe, you know, 10 minutes left at this point. But it keeps going. Like, there's still, like, you'd think this is the climax. It's not the climax. There's still fucking more to go.
No, somehow Job is going to want to upload himself into
Wants to be a computer.
Yeah.
Now, while we're watching this, and I didn't see the movie, but everyone was saying, like, Transcendence was, like, this movie, but I don't really get how. Is it because of the computer uploading of himself?
Yes.
Is that what people are referring to?
It's because the character feels he's going to be more powerful if he uploads himself into every computer in the world. Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Okay. So it's not really like the updated reboot that we deserve.
No. And in fact, it takes itself way more serious.
I mean, this movie, it doesn't like take itself that seriously, which is why the absurdness of it really works.
I mean, here he really looks like a good guy doll there. I mean, look, he's wearing yellow. I mean, that's
I think we need to get him in the next Child's Play movie.
In the background there, it almost looks like a Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, it almost looks like a dream world as he's talking there. You know, and here he's being told he killed two people. I guess that part of the brain doesn't really register the rest of them, huh?
And he's just like, I'm Joe Fahey. I don't care.
Well, you get the bad news, Marcy, is you get no more shirtless Job with him in this skin-tight uniform.
I know. It's disappointing. I'm not happy about it.
At this point, I'm just aching for Sharon Stone to uncross her legs right about now. This is a total Marcy movie.
It is. It really is.
But I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's one of those movies that you don't really think about much nowadays, but you watch it and you remember exactly what you were thinking at the first time you watched it. You know, it's just one of those movies.
But it just shows, like, it's actually, like, a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just speaking in general, and as we've pointed out, like, look how well it's made. Look how great they shot it. There's, like, really interesting ideas in there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, with a few tweaks, it could have been, like, an A-grade movie and not a B-grade movie.
Mm. Absolutely. You think that's what the screenwriter Transcendence saw, not to bring up that piece of shit again, but... He just kind of saw this and was just like, you know, I just want to make that movie a grade A movie. And boy, did he fail.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever want to see that movie.
You've never seen it?
No, I didn't go see it.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's, like, still on screens.
No.
I think the Lego movie is still out at the cinema here, but no, not Transcendence.
Is it really? That movie was out when, like, we recorded our freaking year preview podcast.
Yeah, but remember, it didn't start here till, like, the start of April.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, see? Uh-oh, now the suit's glowing again.
He's tying up Pierce. My dreams are coming true. Pierce tied up to a chair.
Marcy's like, I've had dreams that started with
Pierce. In the basement, oh yeah.
Oh, man, these guys, they have news vans that have their faces on all the TVs.
The corporation, they're just evil.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like we were saying with, Stephen King.
Oh, my God, like he's got a freaking camel toe in that suit. Now I can't unsee it. they tucked away his package and made it into a camel toe.
Good call.
Sorry, good. And I completely cut you off.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. No, that's perfectly fine. I guarantee I didn't have a good point to make.
But the suit's glowing.
Oh, here's where we see this is odd. Like,
what the fuck? Yeah, this is when the movie just loses me. Yeah,
this is when it goes way off.
I love how they're, like, just shooting at it.
I know. Just, although, I like this effect here.
Yeah, this isn't effect. Too bad, actually. It's better than the catching on fire, but the guy's reaction to it is funny.
That's true. But I don't know. It's just different. It's a different effect. This scene right here, this part, was in the trailers. I remember.
Yeah, I remember like seeing the trailers on like VHS. And the same with the second one. And it's just like, yeah, I really don't want to see that.
Really? Yeah.
That's what I loved about 90s horror is the freaking VHS trailers. Like how exciting it was. Like, oh, I'm going to see this one and this one. Oh, we better check next month to see if this is out. I miss those days.
You know, the years between 91 and 96, it was just an odd time to be a horror film because, you know, Freddy was dead. Jason was, you know, in Manhattan. And, you know, didn't get much better after that. Myers, who the hell knows what the hell was going on with the Myers.
The thing with the 90s in horror, and this is what I've been noticing, it's like those under-the-radar movies that are the ones that are really good.
Yes, but your franchises were Leprechaun.
No.
You know. And what was the other one that was out in the 90s? There was another one that started in the 90s, too. It doesn't come to mind, but... I think that's what Shay was thinking with this. He's just like, I want to start another franchise. And
but then the landscape changed because Scream just brought horror out from the depths of wherever it was.
Yeah, Scream And I would argue that horror needs another film like that to just come out and, like, knock it on its ass. Just,
It is in a strange way that you'll find some, like, it's all independent, really. And you'll find some that are so good. Then you'll find some that just make you question why the fuck you exist.
Yes, yes. Contracted is a good example of that. Very good film. You know, you have to search for them. But I think there's another. Yeah. There needs to be another horror film. I mean, enough of the found footage. Now we're having a Jason movie that's a found footage film.
Mm, I don't like the genre. I just think it's stupid. Like, why the fuck are you still filming, you dickhead?
Yeah,
that's exactly. My reaction through the whole thing. Like, I was even going back to the Blair Witch. I'm watching it, going, "Why are they still filming? What kind of an idiot are you?"
You know, it's funny you bring up Blair Witch. I was just about to say when we interviewed Ed Sanchez a few weeks ago. Guy who, one of the co-directors of Blair Witch, and I said, "I hate you for starting that freaking genre," and he laughed. He goes, "We get that a lot."
I mean, it is like, you know, there's nothing wrong with, like, say, the Blair Witch or something, but it just makes the character seem so stupid, and I just can't get invested in it.
Yeah. And
there's only a few, like, found footage movies where it doesn't bother me. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But others, it's just like, no.
Cloverfield comes to mind. That's one that I really enjoy.
It's one I've never watched.
What's that?
I've never watched it.
Really?
Yeah. And I can't for the life of me remember, like, the found footage movie that I liked. It could have been Wreck that didn't bother me about how they filmed it, and Wreck 2. But I know there was something else that I can't think of. But I hate, like, Paranormal Activity. Like, what a bunch of dumbass dickheads.
Yeah. Yeah, but
fucking hate it.
And meanwhile, Pierce is about ready to get rescued by the kid.
Yeah, I'd be leaving him, like, all tied up in there and having there you some go, Marcy. Sex at times. I mean, what?
Here's what you're talking about here when you say that this movie has a great build-up and then at the end it just kind of falls apart.
This is where it really loses me.
This is where I was almost tuning out the other day when I was watching
it. Yeah, I mean, on watching it again, I was just like, I'm trying to stay awake, because it's just,
trying to stay awake. It's like, when you started watching it, you were way awake, and then
so much shirtless action going on, and then it just goes silly.
Yeah.
I mean, it is necessary, because that's, like, the last step for Droop to take. I just don't think it's, like, handled that well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pierce should have, like, gone into the last scene without his shirt on. Like, he should have just taken his jacket and shirt off.
Pierce wearing the, he was wearing the Dockers, too. The Dockers pants right there. It's like, he doesn't wear jeans. He just wears the nice friggin' Dockers work pants. You know, look at him.
Yeah.
VSI. Is that virtual reality? Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Come on, Marcy. You're supposed to know these things.
I don't know. I don't know. Virtual sex.
Come on. Brett Leonard has spelled it out perfectly for you. You should know.
Sorry, I was just imagining if I had telekinesis, I'd be like, you know, standing like across the room from Pierce Brosnan and his pants would be coming down.
There you go.
Don't put movies like this in front of me. I can't concentrate.
Well, there's Austin O'Brien. That should help you a little bit.
No.
Pierce is just, it was just such an odd part of his career. It's just like, you know, it just makes you wonder, why would he take a film like this?
But like, then again, he made, like, I think it was Livewire or something. It was like a really silly movie.
Yeah.
He did some silly things, like, before Bond.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I mean, the only thing I really knew him from was Remington Steele. That's, like, the real thing. And Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, I think, like, around this time, he had the show, and I think he made, like, some random movies. He did this, like, Livewire, Mrs. Doubtfire.
By the way, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have to say this. Like, did you see when the SWAT team was running? Like, you know, you just tell that they just hired these guys off the street because, like, nobody was going in motion with the other. Like, none of them were in sync. You know, they were just running randomly to one side or the other.
And now they're like, I don't know, they're just acting like their heads are hurting because Jove is just
What does the director say there? Like, your head really hurts. We're going to make a big noise. And here come the wasps.
Yeah, this is very silly.
Oh. This guy's just loving it. The guy next to Job, he's just loving it.
It's weird.
Wait, is Job controlling him here?
I don't know. That's a weird thing.
Oh, my goodness. And the wasps follow Job.
But what is that? Are they meant to be, like, virtual wasps? I don't get it. It's weird. It's not really explained, like, what the fuck is going on.
No, it just doesn't. It's just... And they're not even, like, real cool effects.
No, it's very silly. Like, I can imagine even back then it would have been silly.
Honestly, I don't even remember what I was thinking when I was in the theater watching this part. I was just like...
You probably were asleep because it got boring.
Yeah, we probably were, actually. We probably were. Okay, Job, have at it, sir. This part's actually kind of cool. I like the way he kills this guard here. This one right here. Right after he kills his friend.
He did.
I mean, this effect, I mean, nowadays it's not really that shocking, but I remember seeing it and being kind of crazed out by it.
Mm.
Right here, he goes against the wall.
Then I love how Jeff Fahey, like, sells it.
That is a nice shot.
Mm.
Literally. And Austin O'Brien stuck right in the middle. Now, is this supposed to be... Is this Brett Leonard's version of what James Cameron was doing in Aliens, where he had, you know, Weaver and Bean and Newt all in the same frame at all times? This is the new family unit, right?
Mm.
Is that... Never mind.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, he's all of a sudden, like, these characters are coming into it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just odd.
And here's this effect again. You know, I mean, you don't see that. You know, I mean, you got to give it that.
It's
just something you don't see. And this car is in pretty bad shape.
It's fucked up, man.
Yeah, I don't think I would be driving that. But
well, they're getting out, so they're like,
we walk from here.
Hey, did he just wink at the kid?
Weird. I'm not sure, but I mean, Pearson is leather jacket. Now he's got a leather jacket on. He means business. And a gun is...
Oh, look, there's a gun. Just happens to be there. Yeah, I'll take it.
Just
me.
Conveniently leaning against the fence upward. Very convenient.
The mom falls asleep in the car, like, with all this happening. She's like, I'm just going to fall asleep so the kid can run off.
Right. I have a question for you. Do you think Stephen King actually has finished this movie? Do you think he has sat down and watched the entire thing? Like, or was it like when Richard Donner went and saw Superman 2 and he saw them go to Paris and he got up and left? He's just like, this isn't part of my vision anymore.
I don't think he watched the whole thing.
You don't think so? Like, you think he literally got maybe 10 minutes into it and was like, okay. This is it.
I think probably like halfway through. I mean, it's possible he could have sat and watched the whole thing and his blood was boiling, but yeah. I just can't see him watching the whole thing. But then again, I can't see Stephen King like being remotely normal.
Like, he's sitting down taking notes going, okay, I'm going to sue them for this, I'm going to sue them for this.
That I could probably picture. But was this around the time where he was like off his shit?
I believe, yeah, he was still on drugs around this time, I believe.
That's why, like, Tommyknockers just doesn't make sense, because he was off his nuts on that.
And he also said, I think he said in writing, he said that he was on cocaine the whole time he wrote Cujo, too.
Mm. I think I remember, like, a quote from him saying he doesn't fucking remember writing, like, Tommyknockers.
Yeah, I think I heard that, too.
I wonder if, like... doesn't make sense.
What was the first Stephen King book you ever read?
I think it was Carrie, actually.
Was it what?
I think it was Carrie.
Carrie? Mine was Cujo. And it was just so random. I was walking around and I saw on my dad's nightstand, Cujo was just sitting there. And it was like, it was the cover. You know, when movies come out based on movies, they make covers based on the movie.
Yeah, but they still do, because my version of The Wolf of Wall Street has the bloody movie poster on the front.
Yeah. So I picked it up off the nightstand. I just kind of snuck in. I'm just like, I'm going to read this, you know, and I read it. Oh, here's God.
Yeah. Oh, bad God. I think I borrowed Carrie from the library, and I was definitely too young. I think I was like 10.
Yeah.
And then after that, I watched the movie, I think. It's hard to remember back then. And then different seasons, but I think I started off reading The Body because it was the Stand By Me story.
Uh-huh.
And then I went back and read the whole thing.
Now here, I was trying to figure this out. Like, he has a bunch of honeycomb access points.
Yeah, is he like a bee? Is he meant to be like the queen bee? I don't know. This just like... I don't know. Is this like access to every single like computer system in the world? I don't know.
Is that what that is?
But I mean, I fail to believe that Pierce Brosnan can outsmart Job.
Oh, what a horrible effect that is, by the way.
That's really bad.
That mannequin, that is bad. Wow. I mean, you know, I'm very, very forgiving for old effects, you know, practical effects.
No, it doesn't look good. Like, even if you're watching it then, it wouldn't be good.
No.
How the fuck does that mother fall asleep? Honestly, bad parenting. Jesus.
I have forgotten she fell asleep.
The kid just runs off. Like, why the fuck would you run off? He told you to stay in the car, you dumbass.
Where the hell are freaking child services? She's falling asleep and her son is running into a hugely dangerous plant.
Like, really? Like, seriously? See, I have no tolerance for stupid characters.
I mean, that just tells you what they were just running out of ideas towards the end of the script.
They
just
really were. How do we get the mom out of the picture?
Let's have her fall asleep.
Yeah, it's a shame because if this had like a better ending, like this movie would, like, it'd be so much better.
Yeah. I think God Job looks kind of cool. I really do.
It's,
I mean, look,
it's weird. It looks nothing like Jeff Fahey, like, at all.
No, the only thing that looks like him are the blue eyes right there.
That's it. And it's because they're blue.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know if that's his voice that they...
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
But it doesn't look like him. Look how small. It's really small.
It's funny. I mean, I really understand, like, what they're going for, but I just don't think the way it's executed works. I just think it's poor execution.
Now, why is he a mannequin in the seat there? Is he just a full computer? That's what it is? Like, there's no human left in him whatsoever?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's not really clear. That's the problem.
And he's
put Pierce Brosnan on the cross.
Yeah, here's more religion being put into play here with Brosnan on the cross.
Yeah. And the kid just running in.
The neglected child running through.
When the thing's gonna, like, blow up. Like, yeah, real good parenting there, lady.
Didn't Brosnan, like, explain what he was gonna do, too? He's gonna blow it up?
But yeah, I'm just gonna run in there.
But the mom falls asleep. Does she have epilepsy? Is that what it
is? I don't know.
Narcolepsy? I mean, I don't understand it.
I don't know. I wouldn't even do that. And I can't stay awake the best of times.
In fact, I think you're asleep right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not asleep towards the last 10 minutes of this, look at this. Now he has Superman eye vision right now. he's got the big high beams going on him. Why did he put him on a cross? I don't get it.
I don't know. It's there for whatever.
Mainframe. So he's just trying to get into the mainframe here. I mean, right now,
this movie is just—it's lost me. It's really lost me.
Yeah. King is throwing things at the screen right now. Like, there's nothing left of his TV. Like, he's just so pissed at what they did to his story. Oh, he recognizes Peter. That's interesting. So it's like, you know, when you get the innocent kid to help you win the big battle against the big bad. You know, it always happens. Like, you have to find the guy's weak spot, and I guess his weak spot is Peter. You know, I'm surprised the kid doesn't, like, bust out a comic book and, like, find a way to...
read the comic with me, Job!
Like, he doesn't give him, like, a radioactive spider or something.
this movie's just lost its shit.
It's so lost right now. It's just so lost.
I don't even know what to say, because it's just gone silly.
Yeah. Yeah, it really has. It's turned at this point into an hour and 50-minute commercial for virtual reality. That's what it is.
Although, after watching this, I can't say I would endorse virtual reality. Oh, look, the dumbass mom woke up.
Oh, she's awake.
And she left the door.
And she left the door open as she runs. I mean, is there anything this woman does right?
No.
Pearson full Tron garb still.
Yeah, his butt looks really tight in those. Isn't that true?
And, who, Austin O'Brien? Oh, you're talking about Pierce Brosnan.
No, Pierce Brosnan.
I mean, now, like, Austin O'Brien, I don't think Austin O'Brien changed his wardrobe for Last Action Hero. He
looked exactly the same, like, in all the 90s movies he was in. I think he looks really different now.
Does he? You know what? I just watched the My Girls for the first time last year, and I didn't even know he was in it. And you know what? I didn't realize he was actually pretty good in that movie. Real good.
Yeah, I saw them both at the cinema as well. Because, you know, that's okay for me to see. Other things, you know, not allowed to.
Gotcha. Now we have the...
There's the explosion.
Obligatory blowing up scenes.
Mm. It's a pretty massive explosion, like,
from
the outside.
Why is it that when...
Pierce just is like, I'm going to jump down. Screw you, kid. And you're supposed to let the kid go down first? Like...
Oh, there's the mom, right on time. Access denied. And he finally found some access. A back door, huh? I mean, where is he going?
I don't know.
Marcy? Jeez, up. Blow up. This is, you know, this is like the trope that happens in these movies where the guys escape with the plant exploding.
Yeah, it's a pretty big explosion, too.
It is a pretty big explosion. That almost looks like a little computer enhanced, too.
It looks like half a Michael Bay explosion.
Marcy, that is not a Michael Bay explosion.
No, I said it's half a Michael Bay explosion.
Oh, gotcha. See, look, here's the family unit.
Yeah, it's like hugging him, like, you know, there's his wife and kid when it's not.
Now, is the mom asleep against his shoulder? I mean, did she get enough winks a little earlier?
They don't know. So, like, does that mean Job was, like, I don't know, destroyed?
Well,
like, he did find access somewhere, but does he live on somewhere? It's not clear, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, you know, it's like you'd think he'd be destroyed, but we're going to find out here in a little bit that, I don't know, he found a window, as, you know, all bad guys do. And you know what? It just reeks of Robert Shay, because remember Robert Shay, at the end of Nightmare on Elm Street, told Wes Craven, we're not going to kill this guy. He's going to be alive at the end. Mm. And I think that was a compromise that Robert Shay did. I'm just taking a guess here, but it sounds like something he would say. Yeah. He's like, we're going to keep this guy alive because we're going to turn it into a franchise.
Yeah, I think that was one of their disagreements, was because he wanted it more of an open ending, and Wes Craven didn't see it that way.
Yeah, and here's the compromise. here's the compromise right here. There's all the phones, and now Pierce knows that
Job lives in the phone.
After all that, Job is still alive. Which we will find out in Lawnmower Man 2, right, Marcy? We're going to do a commentary for that?
Oh, you can do that by yourself. I'm not fucking watching that.
That would be 2 hours of us sleeping, right?
You can hear us snoring.
Well, this was my first audio commentary. How'd I do?
Yeah, pretty good. I think we did pretty well. I mean, I am what we would say a veteran at doing audio commentaries, but each one is always different. It depends, like, who you do it with, what sort of movie it is. I mean, you know, we have on, like, some other people. It just goes nuts because everybody just has so much fun and it's just so silly. But I think we sort of kept it very grounded, which was a good experience because I don't think any of these things I've done has ever really been grounded.
Well, get me in on the crazy one, because I want to be on one of the crazy ones. Do I pass a test? Am I going to be another one?
Yeah, you pass the test, so that's all right. We'll just I'll let the credits roll, so.
All right. You let the entire credits roll?
Yes, well, we're going to talk while the credits are on.
As the credits are rolling, I just want to say thank you, Marcy, for the opportunity. This was fun.
All okay. Thanks for, taking the time out to do it. And putting up with all my cancellations because I just never know. I can't make plans.
I know. I'm the same way.
Something's going to happen or I'm not well or blah, blah, blah. That's just how it is, man. You know?
Look, they even put like nicknames for some of these guys.
Yeah, there's like Grover, Quiet Man. There was a Chewy before.
Yeah.
See, cute. If I'm credited, it's going to be Super and then Marcy.
Now, am I closing this out or are you?
I think we can close it out. We can, while the credits are rolling, let's let everyone know where they can find us. So you can find me, obviously, drooling over hot shirtless men on a daily basis. But really, you can find me at supermarcy.com and you can follow my Twitter account. And if you are doing so, you will see lots of wrestling tweets and lots of live movie tweeting, which is twitter.com/supermarcy. You can find the Super Podcast page on Facebook at facebook.com/smsuperpodcast. And so I'm trying to think of anything else. You can always send an email to one of my email addresses, but you can use marcy@supermarcy.com. That is the one associated with the website. And hate mail, send to B. That's where that goes. And Garrett, what about you? Where can we find you?
Martin Becker. He did the effects for Friday 13th Part 6. All right. You can find me at main site is www.adventureamigos.net. I put reviews there, movie reviews. Bea Harper, who also does stuff for supermarcy.com, she puts video game reviews, a whole bunch of things go on that site, as well as my podcast, which is The Director's Chair, where we interview people from the business, and people are getting bigger and it's becoming more and more fun. The more people we interview, we just have a blast doing that. Me and my co-host, Mr. Scott Ward. And then you can also, I'm a sometime contributor to Super Marcy's site. I plan to do at least one or two reviews for the 90s horror. And I also have a big thing planned for the Jupiter Ascending release with her, which we'll get into later. And yeah, as far as Adventure Amigos go, lots of music, lots of beer, and lots of video games and lots of movies. That's where you'll find me. Find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter. I'm everywhere. Feel free to send hate, send adulation, but mostly send me a phone call because I'm lonely.
Aww.
That's it.
Oh well,
that be all. Yeah, and find me in my California apartment. Hey, look, Marcy, stock footage from World Wrestling Federation. Back before it was entertainment.
Yes, because they got sued.
I know.
But when you hear WWF, do you associate it with wrestling or animals?
That was so stupid. That's for another podcast, though.
that might be worth bringing up on the wrestling podcast.
Apparently, according to Marcy, I passed the test, so you can probably find me on more commentaries.
Yes.
Because I love doing this. This has been real fun.
Well, we will be back next month with a martial arts-related commentary.
Yes, which we've been talking about doing this for years.
Yes, we've and finally the time is right to do it.
Yes, I agree.
All right. That's definitely I'm glad this movie is not based on fact, because that would be terrifying.
But it is dedicated to someone's memory, and I don't know, if I died, I don't know if I want a film where a virtual reality person becomes a god be based on me. I don't know.
Well, you know, when I pass, I want the movie Showgirls to say that it's dedicated in my memory.
Okay, well.
Well, that's... I think that's a wrap of the audio commentary.
Thanks, Marcy.
Thanks, Garrett. And yes, to all our listeners, tune in again for future podcasts and shows from the both of us on the respective websites. And thanks for always supporting us, because we are pretty damn cool. So until next time, catch you later, guys.